Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Here we go. Let's see. I've entitled this morning's message, God's Divine Order for Our Families. God's Divine Order for Our Families. Last week, the message was somewhat profound in a sense, that as we see the culture right now and the direction that the culture is headed, I truly believe last week God revealed to us three types of entities that are at work right now. And we talked about Baal, we talked about Ashtoreth, and then we talked about Molech. And they're at work right now. We see that. And so last week, of course, we didn't have time to go into this message only because of time's sake. But this is like a continual, because once God exposes the enemy, then God turns around and equips us to confront the enemy. Can I get amen? Amen. We are not to retreat. We're not to run back. We're not allowed to slip away. Why? If you look at, Paul described a Roman soldier of the helmet, or basically the armor of God. So what he pictured was a helmet, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the belt of truth, and the feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. But notice one thing about this armor is if you retreat it, there's nothing on the backside. And so when one retreats, you are now prey to the enemy. And the enemy's, he's unmerciful. He's not merciful. He wants to render us useless if he could. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 78. And we're going to break down this passage of scripture that was given to King David. King David had an anointing upon him where during the time he wrote these psalms, he was just considered a ruddy little kid, a little redhead kid. And King Saul was the king at the time, and he never obeyed God. He always disobeyed God. And so when God will allow tormenting spirits to come upon King Saul, little David would come and play his harp and would sing the praises of God, which would give him temporary peace. And so we're going to look at this one particular psalm, and we're going to see how God instructs through the psalm, instructs us today, our families, because the strength of the church of today, the foundation is the families. And if the families are destroyed, it renders many families useless. But I'm here to let you know that with God, all things are possible. God's a restoration, a restorer of all those things in our life that the enemy wants to bring to us. So are we there at Psalms 78? Let's go to the word. And it reads, give ear, O my people, to my law, which is the word of God. That's what the law means. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. Look at that. We will not hide those things from their children. Telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Let me just pause right there for a moment. Our culture will not tell beautiful things of God to the children no more. We saw last week it ended in 1962. So they took God out, they took the Bible out, they took everything, they removed it so that a generation will be raised up without the knowledge of God. But praise God, to us Christians, we will bring our children to the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The enemy's not going to have his way. Verse 5, look at this. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Key. That the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. And verse 7. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The key in this walk with the Lord is to learn to walk in obedience unto God and to share the wonderful works to your children. This little tiny grandchild back here, Brother Carlos's grandchild. This is a beautiful thing that they bring this little one to the house of God. Can I get an amen? And all your children to the house of God. Why? Because they will know who God is and what he has done. This is why I wanted to share that testimony before everyone went to Sunday school. Because these are important things to know, that if God can do that, my issues, God can resolve my issues too if I give them to him. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So let's look at this for a moment. Christians are under a divine obligation to teach the next generation the truth of God's word so they will understand that they are God's children. Did you know our children are just borrowed to us?
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
After a certain age, they leave the home and we bless them and we hope we've done well with them. We hope that we instilled righteousness, we inserted God into their lives. That is the end game, that's the goal. And look at this, know that he has a plan for their lives and be equipped to face life. We all know that the culture has no plan for them. Matter of fact, the culture wants to destroy them. He wants to destroy them in the womb. Last week we shared 63 million already destroyed in the womb. Those are doctors, those are lawyers, those are pastors, those are evangelists. Those are the people that deliver your mail. Their life has been snuffed out by the enemy. And so we have to be about our Father's business now, because the world's not going to teach them about God. The house of God needs to teach us about the things of God. Can I get amen? And so, saints, this pattern of instruction should continue without a gap from one generation to the next. We need to pass it down, pass it down, pass it down. Can I get amen? We need to pass it down always. Why? Because they're never going to know who God is unless we share these wonderful things to them. Parents in particular have the responsibility to introduce their children to the Lord. That's our responsibility. Can I get amen? Saints, the writer of Psalm 78, which is King David, he was little David at the time. He describes how God's truth should be passed down from one generation to the next. Serving Christ is God's will. The Apostle Paul gives the following explanation of what it means to walk in God's will. And I love one of the scriptures that was written in Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. So let's break down this Psalm 78. Let's go here right now. Look at this. In Psalm 78:4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord." This is what they need in their life, to know that we praise God, we love God, and we teach them how to praise and love God. And His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. We didn't do this in our own strength. It was God who has done it in us to demonstrate the love of God to them. Listen, a lot of children will not see God, but guess what? They will see God in you. They will see God in you. They'll see you loving your wife, loving your husband, loving your children, loving and raising them up. That's what they need to see. But this world is doing the opposite. We read last week, Ashtoreth is transforming our children into transgenders and homosexuals at the age of 3, 4, and 5. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. This is the generation that we're seeing now. Oh, this will pass. No, it's getting darker. It's getting darker. Look at this next verse of scripture in verse 5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Listen, 5 minutes. 5 minutes before your kids go to bed. Open up the Bible and share maybe a paragraph with them that they all read together. That will go a million miles in their life. And it'll strengthen us as parents to teach them. Yes. Or even your grandchildren. Yes. Look at this in verse 6. "That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children." This is what God is saying to the church in the times that we live in now. There's no other time now but to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to teach them the oracles of God, to teach them who God is in their life. Look at this in verse 7. "That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." Keep His commandments. Praise God. And so, saints, at the time this psalm was written, the Bible had not yet been completed. But it was preserved for us. Can I get amen? The Dead Sea Scrolls that were dug up had all these scriptures already. And so it was not until about the 1400s or the 1300s when they put the Bible together and assembled the Old and the New Testament. And as the words of Moses in Genesis through Deuteronomy were taught to the people, they were expected to pass down the information about the Lord to their children. And saints of God, they didn't have written copies of scriptures like I just mentioned. So the parents taught God's truths verbally to them from one generation to the next. And you know what was a blessing? Those children took heed. And I'll tell you probably why it was easier for them to receive it, because they weren't distracted like our children are today. I've seen 7-year-olds with iPhones, iPads. And once they lock in, it's hard to get their attention. All they're doing is this. You ever went to a mall and people are walking like this? Looking at that phone. How many likes did I get today? That many. Today we have the Holy Bible, the infallible Word of God. Can I get amen? It's the eternal Word of God, which is written everything we need to know about the Lord and His instructions for us. And so let's look at this for a moment. We need to understand the divine obligation that God has given us. Us parents, even you singles, to live holy and sanctified, to guard yourself from the enemy, because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. So saints, just like the Israelites, we too have been entrusted with the responsibility to teach the instructions, the example that God teaches us, you and I, to our children so that they would pass it down. Can I get amen? And as we do that, what are the results? The results will be a desire to walk obediently before the Lord and the power of His Holy Spirit. When you start getting the mind of God in you through the scripture and through Bible study and through meditation, He strengthens you like no other time. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints of God, both instruction and example are necessary. Example is like a testimony. We just heard a testimony of Brother Angel's friend coming. Stage 3 cancer. All we did was did what the book says to do. You come by faith, lay hands, and watch God do the healing. Can I get it? It's not us. Never take any credit. It's not us. It's not your hand. It's not my hand. It's the hand of God. Using vessels like us who want to be used. You have to want to be used by God. Say, God, use me, Lord. For the first 30 years of my life, I was used by the devil till I got saved. And once I got saved, God set me free, and then God gave me a brand new mind. Praise God. And for many of you, He has given you a brand new mind. Praise God. So let's look at this for a moment. Our instruction should include the principle of God's word that we have read, learned, and lived out in our own lives. In other words, our personal testimony. I shared this testimony to a friend yesterday, and it blew him away. For some of you, you've already heard this before, but I feel led to share it again. I had just gotten saved. I got saved at 30. I'm 63 now, so that was 33 years ago. And I bought a brand new van because I was bringing people to church. I was just finding those who want to come to church, and I would go pick them up. I had the first van ministry. And I remember I came to the All-American Car Wash on Euclid and Plaza Boulevard right there, if you recall that car wash right there. And I ran into my older brother's friend, Lewis Davis. They graduated in 72, 73. I graduated in 77, though they were older. But he was there working at the car wash. I go, Lou, what's up? And we hug. And I go, how long you been working? He goes, just a couple months. I go, right away. It was God in me. So, Lou, are you going to church anywhere? He goes, no, I'm not going anywhere. I go, hey, tonight is testimony night. Would you like to come? I go, come on, bring Wendy, his wife Wendy, and bring the kids. I knew who they were, because those were my brother's friends, and they hung out. They were close. He goes, well, oh, come on, let me come by and pick you up. Look at this brand new van that you're cleaning right now, because he was at the end drying it off. I go, I'll come pick you up in this van. He goes, okay, give me the address. He lived on D Street. So if you go west on Plaza Boulevard, you pass Highland, you make a left on D and go down the hill, and his apartments were on the right-hand side. So I said, cool, I'm going to pick you up. Man, I'm picking up a family tonight, right? Amen. As I went down, there was a parking spot, and I pulled in. I failed to look what was on my left side. But as soon as I opened up my door and I looked, there was about 60 homeboys out there. They were from a gang called the Insane Boys of National City. Later on, I didn't know. I wouldn't have thought that they were the ones that killed my nephew at Plaza Bonita Mall. These guys were thugs and murderers. They didn't care. And as soon as I opened up my door, they started cursing me from across the street. Because they were all getting high. They were all just gathering there. They were going, "Orale, fat boy, where you from?" I said, "Man, I'm here to pick up a friend to go to church." And I closed the door. I went around the van, and I was knocking on Lewis's door. "Lou, open the door, Lou. Let me in, man. Lou, open the door. Let me in, man." So he opened the door. I go, "Man, who are all those guys?" He goes, "Ah." He goes, "They're the Insane Boys in National City." Insane was right, because they were cursing me up and down. I go, "Lou, come on. I'm here to pick you all up to go to church." He goes, "Oh, man, Fiend. Wendy doesn't feel good." And I said, "I don't think I'm going to go." I said, "Man, Lou, I came over here." And I looked out the window, and there was 11 of them already leaning on my van. Just got a brand new van. And I'm saying, "I got to get to church." I go, "Lou, come on, man. Let me use your phone. I'll call the cops." "Sorry, we don't have a phone." Back then, cell phones were about this big. They were like big, giant, wartime walkie-talkies. No one had a cell phone then. And so I go, I got to get to my van, man. You going to come out there with me?" He goes, "Fee, I'm sorry. I don't go out there when they're out there." I said, "Man, all right." I walked down the few steps. I started walking up to my van, and then they surrounded me. Homeboys had their Pendletons like this, all opened up. This one guy that was right in my grill had a silver piece tucked in his belt. And they jammed me up right there. They said, "Orale, ese. This is Arvario, ese. What are you doing here?" I go, "Man, I told you, I'm here to pick up a friend, but he didn't want to go. I got to get back to church." And I'm telling you, I was shaking in my boots. I mean, anyone would have been scared, okay? Because they came packing. They had filetos. You know, they had everything there. And there was 11 that surrounded me. And there were more across the street, a whole bunch more across the street. And right before they made their move on me, God spoke clearly to me. He spoke so that I could audibly, I heard him. And then it went into my heart. And God said, "Yell out my name as loud as you can. Just yell out Jesus as loud as you can. And then trust me." And so I looked at the one that, I didn't look at all of them, I just looked at the one that was in front of me, and I yelled out with a loud voice, "Jesus!" I mean, as loud as I could. And as soon as I yelled out Jesus, it's like they all turned sideways, and God parted the Red Sea for me, and I walked right past them. I got into my van, and I was gone. Hallelujah. I got to testimonial service that night, and I shared that testimony. And over there, they run the pews over there. The organ was jamming, man, and they were like running the pews, man. We serve a real God.
Yes, we do.
We serve a mighty God. And if you're about your Father's business, He'll pull a shield and buckler around you. Nothing formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that comes against you, God will condemn it. God had to show me how real he is. And if I would trust him. From that moment on, I believed God for everything from my life. If he could save me from these thugs and these murderers, he can do anything. And he has shown me so much, saints of God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Come on, give him a shout of praise. And like the Old Testament saints, we must be able to teach our children who God is, what he has done, and how he expects us to live. Can I get amen?
Amen. That's
But instruction alone is not enough, saints of God. We must also teach them by example on how to obey the Lord. Amen? If they're seeing you love and build up and truly care for one another, they will do the same. It comes automatically, especially for a child. Look at this. Although we may feel as if we don't know enough to pass on scriptural truths, we all have a story to tell. So if you're a baby Christian, that's okay. No one's asking you to be a Bible scholar yet. But share what God has done for you. Can I get an amen? Glorify God. You know, I may not know the Bible like you, but let me tell you what he's done for me. Can I get an amen? Because God will show up in mighty ways in your life. And he'll come and defend you. This is why, be careful. Just pray for your enemies that despitefully want to use you. Just pray for them. Don't curse them. Don't talk down on them. Why? Because that battle don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Can I get amen? And so, saints of God, first of all, everyone has been saved by grace of God that understands what's required of salvation. See, here it's the basic simplicity of the Word of God. And here's one scripture that everyone probably knows already. Okay? So if you're a football fan, I remember watching the end zone when they kick a field goal, there would be a sign that went up. And before I got saved, I go, what is John 3:16? Now, I didn't know the Word of God, so I didn't know where to find that reference. I just said, why do they keep putting that sign up? It didn't dawn on me until I got saved. And then I understood. It's this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through... Look at this. But that the world through him might be saved. I need to clarify something. God didn't come to this world to condemn us. People have a misconception of who God is. Oh, he's up there with a bat waiting to beat you on the head. No. Matter of fact, since we were formed in our mother's womb, he has been pursuing us. This is how much he loves us. God is a God, for God so loved the world. He loves us. He loves his created beings. We were the highest created being that he created on this earth. Why? Because no animal has a soul like us. God has given us a soul, a mind of remembrance. Wow. And so we're the highest created being. So when it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, what that means is the world was already condemned through the fall of Adam and Eve. So mankind came into this world already in sin, from the original sin. Jesus came to save us from that predicament. Can I get an amen? That's what I love about God. That's why he saved us. Why? Because he knew that we couldn't save ourselves. And furthermore, saints, we can explain how the Lord has worked in our lives by protecting, providing, encouraging, and helping us through life's hardships and pain. That's what God does. He sees us through those tough times. How many of you have been through a tough time this year? I'm telling you, he will see you through. I don't care how severe it looks. He will see you through. Praise God. Praise God. And furthermore, saints of God, we can explain how the Lord has worked in our lives by doing the miraculous. I just shared that testimony right now. Now, for some people, it's like, wow, you could have died. I go, yeah, I could have died. I thought I was. And God came in and saved my bacon. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Listen. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right here. I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? I don't care what you're going through. God is able to strengthen you and give you courage to keep going, to fulfill those needs in our life. Everyone has a need. Your need is different from mine, and my need is different from yours, but he fulfills those needs according to his riches and glory. Ask yourself this. Since birth, God has fed us every day. He has clothed us every day. He has put a roof over us every day. And he has blessed our parents to bless us. Can I get amen? Amen. And now we're doing the same for our children. It's all God, though. It's God's grace and mercy. And pray for the other countries. Because you know what? People that come to this country, they realize, wow, it's not like that in my country where I came from. Some of them go days without food. Some of their kids go naked. What? I was 18 years old. I was blessed to go where my father's from, the Philippines. I went to go visit my grandfather. And we would pass through villages and kids were running around naked. They had no clothes. I said, wow, this is different from America. And so we are blessed to be in this land. Look at this. Christian parents cannot entrust this divine obligation to someone else. It's got to go to our children, amen? We need to pass it down to the next generation, and they're the next generation. This is why Paul wrote this. He wrote this. Look at this. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's easy to scold someone. It's easy to yell at them, but a lot of times, there's no explanation to it. So by teaching them what they did wrong and raising them up and telling them the consequences of their wrong will go a lot farther than to provoke them to anger. I love my dad. I love him dearly. But there was 11 of us. And when we was jumping around on couches and tearing up the place, he didn't have much words. He just came with the belt. And we were angry. We needed it, though. I mean, that was us. We were just little stiff-necked kids. See, it was tough for my mom. My dad did 6 months out of the year in the Navy. He would go, we wouldn't see him for 6 months. So my mom and my grandmother raised up 11 kids. I felt bad for them because I look back and we was what my dad used to say when he would come home. You terrible kids, you destroyed the house. And we did. There was no one to blame but us. But I, you know what? I learned something when I got saved. I learned to love my children and explain exactly what they've done. And I even still loving my dad, loving my mom, because they did the best that they could. They weren't raised up in church, so I can't blame them for that. Their grandparents didn't raise them up in church either. I can't blame them for that. Oh, that's all they knew. But this generation, God came, hallelujah, to our generation and saved us to give us the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Can I get amen? And now we have something beautiful to pass to our children. Hallelujah. So I'm not mad at them. I'm thankful for my parents because even though they didn't have the knowledge that we have today, they still fed us and clothed us and they still put a roof on our head. And I'm very thankful. But look at this. Train up a child. Proverbs, Solomon spoke and wrote this down. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yolanda showed me an Instagram feed from my son Anthony, who's in Arkansas, and he's furthering his study at a Bible college. And I'm thankful. Because I wanted to see his football career go right after Eastlake. And I was thinking, okay, what college am I going to put him in? He came to me one day and goes, Dad, I want to go to Bible college. I said, huh? And so, you know what? I had to bow down. I had to bow out. If that's what God put in his heart, I'm just going to honor it. He spent his first year in Israel. In Bible college. And Yolanda and I, one day, we flew over there and surprised him. Wow. He started learning the things of God even further. And now he's gone on further. And he's got a great job in Arkansas. He works for a coffee company called Onyx Coffee Labs. And he helped build that company. But he wants to further his biblical studies. Because he's not forgetting his call. He's called. I remember, I go, you're called to preach, son. You're called to preach. Look at this. Look what Moses from God gave to the children back then. And these words, look at this in Deuteronomy. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your who? Your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Praise God. Amen. Keep them the simple things of God. It don't have to be a theological study. Just God loves you. God's blessed us. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Share the stories of how he fed 5,000 on a hill with a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. These little stories go a long way and inspires children. Look at this right here. The state of our culture makes this divine obligation even more critical. How many believe that? We're living in critical times. I never thought I'd see what's on television anymore. I don't even want to watch commercials no more. They're ungodly. It's horrible. Now, one of our pastime favorite things is to watch football games. I like college games and I like NFL games. But now, the commercials that come right after it, it's like that ruins the whole thing almost. Because never before we ever saw anything that was leashed out from hell to us. You see, Daniel knew these things. Look at this in the book of Daniel. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. What God said that at the end, toward the end of time, God was going to reveal so many things to us and knowledge would increase. We can go. We can send a rocket now to Mars. We can see what's happening in China just on your phone live. This is how knowledge has increased. This is why these are signs of the end times. Before, during the, did you know that just 120 years ago, America was still horse and buggy? And these last 120 years, we can go to Mars now. We can see things around. This is how knowledge has increased so fast. Just like Daniel said, we would see these things in our generation. So we're the generation now that are seeing these things. And this is why Jesus said, in these last days, I will be with you. I will strengthen you. How many believe that God is with us? Amen. He's with us. Amen. He is with us. And he is protecting us and he's shielding us. Praise God. And so the world our children inhabit is full of errors, dangers, and distractions that could easily lead them away from Christ. This is why they need us right now. Can I get amen? Amen. Our children need us. And we need them. They need us. Today's technology can be used to promote the gospel, but also it distracts young people, like I shared earlier, to what's truly important. Look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church right up here. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Because we live in an evil generation. Remember last week, it says, Paul said, stand in that evil day. We are to stand in this evil day now. Because it is evil. Oh, come on. It is. And it's right before us. Praise God. So look at this, saints. We have many ways to teach the next generation. How many believe that? We should begin with our own beliefs, our own life experiences, but there's also value in passing down what we've learned as parents and grandparents. Praise God. You know what? Paul, the apostle, plainly laid it out in the book of Ephesians. Look what he wrote here. Look at this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. If you were to go to a secular school, I'm just going to use my son's old high school, Eastlake. But if you were to ask them, a kid, say a freshman or a sophomore, who is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They'd probably say, who do they rap for? What rock band do they belong to? They're not going to know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. Why? Because it's not being taught to them no more. It's been extracted from their mind. They're not going to know anything about God because it was never passed on to them. Look at this, verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the generation we see right now. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. Okay, so God is saying, put these things off now. He says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Before I got saved, I was walking in a deceitful heart and deceitful lust until God saved me. Hallelujah. He humbled me, and then he showed me his grace and mercy, and he has raised me up like he has raised all of you up. Can I get amen? No differently. And look at this. And be renewed in the spirit, look at this, of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what we learn here at Amazing Grace, is to walk in holiness. The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's found in the book of Hebrews. And so it's all about honoring God in your life, about honoring God and doing what he said to do. Pass these precepts, pass these truths to your children. And so the key is diligence. You and I, saints of God, we cannot afford to let teaching opportunities just pass just because we feel inadequate. None of us are called to be Bible scholars. We're called to be the saints of God. Can I get amen? We're a called out generation. And our children will know that. You know why? Because they'll see you in church with them. Can I get amen? They're not just being dropped off. No, you're here because you love God and you want to see them grow in Christ as well. Amen? Amen. So I want to give a shout out to all of you in here. Come on. Hallelujah. God's doing a wonderful thing in your lives. Beautiful thing. And keep being inspired by God's word, because that's where your strength will come from. Being inspired by God and who he is in your life. Because he loves every one of us. So look at this right up here. Grounding our children in scriptural truth is especially important as they head off to school. Not everyone can afford to send them to a private school. I get that. And not everyone can homeschool them. I get that too. Because nowadays it takes two to live a household, to pay a mortgage or the high rents. We get that. And so teach them, teach them, teach them. And watch God do the miraculous in their life. You see, we live in an anti-God environment today. How many believe that? It's all anti-God. You can't speak of Jesus. Not in the school, not in the court, not in society. We cannot rely on teachers and professors to teach them the truth. No longer. And all those saints of God, there are many teachers who love the Lord. There's some saved teachers in the secular world. Yes, they are. Secular education systems, though, it hinders them from talking spiritual things. In other words, that teacher cannot speak the name of Jesus, even though they love Jesus, or they'll lose their job. That's a shame, huh? So, God relies on us to teach them. God has given us the responsibility to teach our children to discern between truth and error so they'll be prepared to go out into this world, because this world is a cruel world. Look what Moses wrote down here. Look at this. For what great nation is there that God is so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Look at this in verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. We're reminded throughout the Word of God that children are so precious to God. When Jesus was doing his ministries for 3.5 years, he would come to a town and all the children would run to Jesus. They would run to him. And then the apostles didn't have a clue. They were trying to shoo them away. And Jesus said, "Hinder them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And so what God is saying, we are to be like those little children. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to have a child who is so innocent will believe the things of God without you trying to get all theological on them. They'll just, by faith, "I believe Jesus and I love Jesus." You try telling an adult, you got to prove it. Show me. We get all sanctified on them. No. Jesus said, "Be like a child. Be like a child." Because that's how the kingdom of God is. Because the Bible says we're all children of the Most High God. Be like a child. What does that mean? That means allow your heart to be like silly putty in the hand of God. Where he can mold you and shape you and form you the way he wants. And he'll tell you where to go without resistance. Allow your life to be like that in the hand of God. And let me tell you, he will take you to places you've never seen before. He'll show you things you've never seen before. And he will do things you thought that he could never do for you. You heard my testimony. He delivered me from the mouth of a lion. I was about ready to die. But God said, "Not so." That's right. See, when God has set a course for your life and a plan for you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Can I get amen? It can't prevail. If God has a mighty plan for you, it don't matter what the devil brings to you. God will just hush it and stomp it right there in its track. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. "Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're coming in for a close. The saints of God, if we don't courageously stand up for truth of the scripture, our children and grandchildren may drown in secularism and unbelief. Man, just imagine if one of your teenage kids or young adult kids says, I'm sorry, mom and dad, but I don't believe God anymore. Wow, that would be mind-blowing, wouldn't it? We have to continue love them through their situations of life. Look at this. We must talk to our children about spiritual matters. Let them know. Let them know. Our society is disinterested in the things of God. We know that already. The most loving thing we could do for our children is to discuss spiritual truths with them. We should ask them what they are learning in school and what they believe about spiritual matters, because it does concern them and it should concern us. Can I get amen? It's our responsibility to teach them that God is the creator, his son is Jesus Christ, and he is the only way to salvation. Praise God. How many believe that? Here's a simple scripture you can tell your child. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you could tell your children, you know what? All the religions of the world cannot save a person, but only Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then here's another key verse. It's been one of the foundational scriptures to Amazing Grace. If you go to our jacuzzi, it's right there on our wood plaques hanging over our jacuzzi. It's this right up here. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, that word is embedded in my heart. Praise God. It just comes naturally to me because I've seen God do this time and time and time again. Praise God. And it's part of me now. And it's I'm seeing that it's growing with you as well. You see, my friends, we are living in spiritual dangerous times and must take a stand for truth to protect our children. They're precious. How many can honestly say your children and your grandchildren are precious to you? I'm going to put two hands up. They're precious. My heart cries, you know, Sunday mornings when I see the kids come through here, my heart cries because they're precious to God.
Yes,
and they're precious to you as fathers and mothers. They're precious. And we never want to see the enemy get a hold of them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
My friends, we know in the 1960s, We read last week, if you were here last week, when they removed God, then Baal came in. And then Ashtoreth came in and transformed them. And then Moloch came in and is killing them. Do you know those same people that are doing those parades and, you know, and they're with those groups, of those ungodly groups, and they were standing with Planned Parenthood? You know what they're actually saying? We want our children murdered. Give us the freedom to kill them. That's what they're saying. So the devil has turned it on them. He sets them up and then he kills them. Wow. My friends, we're living in those times. We got to wake up now and see for what it is. To see what it is. I'll close with this. How many believe we're living in the last days? Come on. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and truly this generation, this culture is very unholy. Can I get an amen? It's unholy. And it's, look, it's unloving, it's unforgiving, slanderers. Just imagine people slandering you behind your back and you don't even know people are saying these vicious things about you. God takes notice of that. Look at that. Without self-control. I think last year, how many riots did we have last year in our cities? I don't know if you saw what was happening in our city. And then it tried to happen in La Mesa. Remember that? They tried to come here. And here's the thing. They'll use a political slogan, but behind it is the devil himself. Burning up your city. Ulterior motives. This is why I don't go there no more. You know, the Republicans and then the Democrats. The devil's everywhere. He'll use them all. Can I get amen? I'm going to talk about Jesus up here. Because he's the only one that can set things in order. Can I get amen? God is not, listen, this world is not going to be politically set through man's concoctions. It's going to be God coming in. And you know how God's going to do it? When he comes and sets up the millennium kingdom. Hallelujah. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's going to eradicate all these other movements. And he's going to destroy his enemies. So you're either on God's side or you're on Satan's side. There's no middle ground. I'm sorry, there's no purgatory. Can I get amen? And guess what? What I love to say about us here, we've all chosen God. Can I hear amen? Hallelujah. Come on, we've chosen God. See, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Why? Because Jesus is in our life. Jesus is with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is the one that went through the highways and the byways. He went looking for us. He went through the ghettos. He went through my ghetto. I grew up in National City and it was ghetto-licious there. Oh, come on. He went through there and he goes, I'm going to use that guy. No education. Never been raised up in a Bible college. But I'm going to raise him up. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? I'm going to raise him up. He doesn't have to go to seminary. And guess what? God wants to use all of you no differently. Can I get amen? Because in the kingdom of God, there's no big eyes and little yous.
That's right.
They're men and women of the Most High God, and he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whoo, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Saints of God, I want to encourage you this morning. That no matter what the devil brings your way, no matter how dark it may look, Jesus, hallelujah, when you put Jesus in the forefront of your life, hallelujah, God will shatter the kingdom of Satan right before you. No weapon formed against you shall rise up. And every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn it. This is why we need to be careful when we talk about folks. You better be led by God if you're going to say something negative. Let God handle those situations that come around. Amen?
Amen?
And so there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard for God. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of your people, of him. I remember everyone of the situations of life that he has seen me through. And I'm sure many of you have similar testimonies, what God has done or what he's doing in your life. No matter how difficult situations may look, God is in the midst of his people working those issues out. Can I get amen? If you're here and you need prayer, come on down and get prayer. God has answers for each and every one of us. And that testimony of healing that man with 3-stage cancer blew me away when I got the message. He came here to get prayer. And he was just seeking God. And God delivered him. My prayer for him that he will continue to give God the praise, glory, and honor. And never, never, never forget what God has done for him. But just remember what God has done for you. Amen? Because he's a loving God, a mighty God. And I'm speaking to those who are watching right now on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you never surrendered your life to God. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do the miraculous in your life, that God would save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, and that God would do the miraculous in your life, and that God would strengthen you in your journey. And no matter how difficult, no matter how hard it is, God is able to see you through. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. I invite you to pray this prayer right now with us and watch God do the miraculous. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I acknowledge to you, God, that I'm a sinner. And I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.